We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. It's about 10 minutes after 3 o'clock. Paul's up in Pelican Lake. What's the what's going on at Pelican Lake, sir?
I'm not in the lake. Not yet.
Okay, not yet.
I hope to be soon. No, it's a beautiful day up here. Amazed more people aren't out on the lake.
Well, it's a beautiful day here, Lori, too. So blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, okay.
I'm just saying, you're up at the lake and we're in the studio. Hey, it's really pretty here in Minneapolis.
Jor, I'm trying to, like every other Minnesotan, I'm trying to squeeze as much summer out of the next few weeks as I can. So check it out, some friends. Just going to relax on the beach and maybe do some fishing Sunday morning and then back with you on Monday.
Excellent. Well, we got our top three trending stories. Rashida Tlaib says she will not go to Israel, even though Israel says, sure, come on in. Oh, the Coon Rapids Andover wins their Little League World Series opener 2-1. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the other story of the day, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America becomes the nation's first sanctuary denomination. And by the way, Susan is in talks with somebody from the church to get them on, hopefully at 3:35, because, you know, Paul and I have a lot of questions about this.
Yes, we do.
What is a sanctuary church? What does that mean for the constituents? Did they all get a vote on this? Lots of questions on that. We'll break that down in a few minutes and hopefully get a guest on coming up at 3:35. But really, a big mazel tov to these kids in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Coon Rapids, mm-hmm. Andover, 2-1 with their Little League World Series opening win. How great is this, Paul?
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. And of course, they have a young gal on the team, which is really making news nationwide. I saw a wonderful piece on the Today Show this morning about Maddie.
Sweet. What Maddie about her? What, keep going. Yes, tell us about Maddie.
Well, here's the deal. There aren't that many girls on these, mm-hmm. on these Little League teams, and this is the first time. Coon Rapids is only the second Midwest team to win its opener at the Little League World Series in mm-hmm. South Williamsport, Pennsylvania, since 2001. So, Coon Rapids getting
good
it done.
Them.
A triple by Tyler Phillips. Scored Dylan Bloom, who had just walked to open the inning. Phillips came home on a wild pitch, Jordana with two outs, and Maddie Freaking batting. So, by the way, and I hope I'm saying her last name right. That would be just
I
like
hope you
to
are, too, because that would
screw
be terrible
that up.
Of you. 10 a.m. Sunday, Freaking. Coon Rapids will play Virginia in the winner's yep. bracket of the double elimination tournament, and we are rooting for you. We will be watching and listening and really excited for Coon Rapids, so good for them. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah.
So,
and she's making history, too. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. good for Maddie.
Good for Maddie. You go, girl. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about women in sports later in the show because those talks for equal pay seems to have broken down when it comes to USA Soccer. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Okay.
Women in Congress. So Rashida Tlaib, you know the brouhaha, the big craziness yesterday that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were going to be barred from visiting Israel because they plan to speak out in favor of the boycott, divest, sanction movement, which is an anti-Israel movement, on a visit there. So Israel said, no, you can't come in. That's not allowed. You're not coming. And everybody said that was the wrong decision. Well, many people said it was the wrong decision. I said it was the wrong decision. So this morning, Israel reversed the decision, and they said, Rashida Tlaib, if you would like to come and visit your 90-year-old grandmother who lives in the West Bank, by all means, please come in. Just please don't talk about the boycott, divest, sanction movement. That is an anti-Israel movement. It calls for the elimination of Israel to be wiped off the face of the earth, for there to be delegitimization of the Jewish state. So you can come and visit grandma, but you can't talk about BDS. And she said, nope, not coming. Nope, not coming. I mean, Paul, it constantly amazes me how these politicians are so dumb. I mean, President Trump was dumb in trying to tell Bibi Netanyahu what to do. Bibi Netanyahu is an idiot for actually listening to Trump, not letting these lawmakers in. And then, are you kidding me, Rashida Tlaib? You went on TV and said, I just want to see my grandmother. How can you keep me from my grandmother? It might be the last time I see her. So go and visit your grandmother. What you did was a political stunt that backfired, that got you right back in the face, because you thought Israel was going to say, no, 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 you can't come see your grandma. And they said, yes, you can come see your grandma. So if you really love your grandma, go and visit her. This makes her look terrible. And now we know it was all a political stunt and she lost.
It was grandstanding?
Yeah, complete grandstanding. If she had credibility in anybody's eyes, of people who support her, people voted for her, I would challenge that she has lost quite a bit of it after this.
But Representative Omar still not welcome to visit Israel, right? There's been no change of heart with her.
No, she doesn't have relatives there. She doesn't. I don't know. I can't imagine that she's ever been there. Maybe she has in the past. I have no idea. But again, I guess they're still saying, no, you can't come, which, again, I categorically believe that that's the wrong decision. But they say, nope, you still can't come. So we'll see about that. But lots of developments this morning in the Tlaib case. And I just, dude, go see grandma. Do your thing. You know, don't try to make a political stand, because that really backfired hard on you.
Don't use grandma as a pawn.
That's
which is
right.
Good advice for all of us.
Yeah, love your grandma more than you hate Israel. Then we'll talk. Love your grandma more than you hate Israel. And then maybe we will believe one word that comes out of your mouth. That's how I feel about it.
Jor, the other story we're tracking, and again, we hope to have an interview at 3:35, Susan Blanche, producer extraordinaire, trying to line that up. But the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has become the United States' first sanctuary denomination. With all the talk, all the concern about immigration, much of it illegal, and sanctuary cities, and what happens next, find it interesting that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which is the largest Protestant denomination in Minnesota, has become the first North American denomination to declare itself a sanctuary church committed to supporting and sheltering migrants entering this country. Listen to this. Reverend Ingrid Rasmussen, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, said, quote, "The gospel of Jesus Christ leads us to embrace the stranger." Minnesota is home to the largest ELCA community in America, 670,000 members. Nationwide, about 3.3 million members, 9,000 congregations, according to an update at Star Tribune. What do you think about this?
This is actually fascinating. And we, again, had a lot of questions. You know, what does this look like? In fact, Susan, who's trying to get that interview with members of the church or leaders of the church, they did send her something about what it means to be a sanctuary denomination. They say in its simplest form, becoming a sanctuary denomination means that ELCA is publicly declaring that walking alongside immigrants and refugees is a matter of faith, similar to what you just said, Paul. They say in baptism, we're brought to a relationship with Jesus Christ that commits us to strive for justice and peace on earth. The ELCA strategy, we will continue to work on this. Being a sanctuary denomination means that we as a church want to be public and vocal about this work. It will look different for everyone, but welcoming people is not a political issue for us. It's a matter of faith. They, as a church, have spoken out against family separation, sought a pathway to citizenship for community members who have lived in the U.S. for many years, and taken steps to address the root causes of migration, in a way that honors the humanity in people who must flee. This is a beautiful statement. Wow. This is a beautiful and a big step, I think. Have you heard any pushback on this yet, Paul?
Not yet. I think it's early. But again, one of the first things that came to mind for me is many conservatives, many in the GOP say, hey, look, federal government, state government, local government should be doing less of this and let the churches, let charities step up and help out where appropriate. And so here's an example, in this case, an entire denomination stepping up and saying, we want to help. We want to be part of the solution. So It'll be interesting to see how this unfolds, but absolutely. I'm sure not. I bet you a bagel, not everybody's on the same page.
One would, as with any large group, they are not. Yes. We American Jews are definitely not all on the same page. We have a lot of very vocal battles and differences. So this is really fascinating. So we're going to keep talking more about this. And hey, if you are a member of the ELCA and you live in Minnesota, we certainly would love to hear what you think in the 3:35 hour at 651-989-9226. Or you can jump in on Facebook. Without you, Paul, it's boring. It's just me. But I am streaming live on Facebook in the studio, and you guys can communicate with us there. Hey, we got to take a quick break because Tim Lammers is joining us next to line up your movies and what's streaming this weekend.
You should be listening to our music before you start getting confused and hating yourself.
I listen to everything. I can feel it all right here. It's like Bruce knows everything I've ever felt, everything I've ever wanted. My poems, they're not brilliant, but they're mine.
You think that this man sings for people like us? But he talks to me.
He talks to me, too.
Wow.
I love everything about this because, yeah, it's Bruce, so I'm happy about that. I'll know all the songs, and I think this guy echoes everything that we grew up with in New Jersey. He speaks to all of us. Tim Lammers is joining us. Tim's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, Seeking Justice for the Injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tim.
Thank you, Jordana, and thank you, Paul. And you know what? Bruce speaks to me, too, but let me confess something to you. I was only a casual fan going into this movie. I've never owned a Springsteen album.
What? Come on. That's un-American.
What?
I know. But look, yeah, the story is based on a true story. A Pakistani teen. He lives in England in 1987. He's facing bigotry from people that don't want him there. He doesn't want to adapt to the traditions and the culture of his Pakistani parents, but he finds a voice, his own voice,
just
in the
touch
music
my face.
Of Bruce Springsteen.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Tim. I'm so sorry. I was talking to Susan in the studio here. I apologize. I will be going with Handsome Husband to see this movie. Sorry, because we had something else going on in the studio. So I will be going with Handsome Husband to see this weekend. I have been waiting for this. My kids even said, Mom, it's out this weekend. We're all excited about it. It's for kids, right?
Oh, yeah, it's for everybody. It's a coming-of-age story, so kids will relate to it. Look, this movie has everything in addition to... To me, the discovery of these great Bruce Springsteen songs, you have a lot of funny moments, some serious moments, some moments of heartbreak. Get ready, Jordana. If you thought you cried at any of the other music-themed movies that you've seen in the past year,
I'm going to be a puddle.
Oh, my God.
I'll be a puddle.
At the end of this movie, it is incredible. It is one of my favorite movies of the year.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Tim? Tim,
yes.
This got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Of course, I put your review above Rotten Tomatoes, but I do look at Rotten Tomatoes, and a lot of times they don't like much, but 90% is a great rating from them. And to me, it just seems like a feel-good movie that we all need to see right now.
Absolutely, Paul. I would categorize it as a feel great movie. The wonderful thing is that you haven't heard of any of these actors before. You only heard the teacher's voice in there briefly, played by Haley Atwell. She's Peggy Carter, Captain America's love in the Avengers movies, Agent Carter on TV. She's the only person you really know, but it doesn't matter. They are great actors. They are passionate about the material. Again, Springsteen's music. It's amazing the meaning that you get out of this. So if you're a big fan like Jordana,
huge.
You're going to get even more meaning out of this.
Huge.
And if you're a casual
cool.
fan like me, you're going to be discovering some amazing stuff.
Well, that has happened with the other movies. You know, we were casual Queen fans. Now we're like raging Queen fans now. And same thing with Elton John. So my kids are already Bruce fans, but it's just going to go deeper. I love it.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it. Next week, I got to hear about this film.
It's awesome.
After you see it.
Did you mention Captain America?
Well, I did.
Yeah, that is a nice transition to our next streaming movie.
The world has changed. None of us can go back. Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
We will. Whatever it takes.
I just might have to watch it again this weekend.
I think you will have to. Look, we remember how we couldn't talk about spoilers forever.
Right, so forever.
Talk about spoilers, please do. But, a quick roundup of the movie. Thanos destroyed half of the universe in Infinity War. In Endgame, they have the choice to live with what they have or take a chance and, through time travel, go back and get the Infinity Stones and try to right the wrong. But it's a lot more complicated than that, and the casualties can be high. I will tell you that. In case one of those people out there hasn't seen this movie yet, get ready to cry at the end of this movie, because it is a pretty tough ending.
Yeah, we are.
Tim, it seems you can see this movie a few times, and every time you see it, you get something new out of it.
I really think so, yeah, Paul, because, you got to remember, it's 3 hours and 1 minute long. It doesn't feel like that, but that's a lot of material. But you know what's great about that? You get to tap into the character's human emotions. Normally, with superhero movies, you don't get that. You get action, action, action. Here, obviously, the big character here is Iron Man, and, what's going to go on with his fate. Again, I mentioned Peggy Carter. I mentioned Captain America. There's a huge development there that I still can't quite spoil with people. But my God, you are going to love the ending, the very ending of this movie. But at the same time, there's something else that goes on that's going to break your heart.
I loved it. Wait, Paul, you've seen it, right?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay, good. Just making sure, because otherwise I don't think we could be friends anymore.
Took me a while, but yes, I have. I want to see it again, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really loved it. I haven't been going to the movies as much with the kids being away, but now that they're home, we are back on track. And Tim, we'll have much to discuss by next week.
Absolutely. Well, double feature in the theater and at home.
Absolutely. You're the best. Tim Lammer's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured, MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Thanks, Tim. You're the best.
Thanks, Tim. Have a great weekend.
We will have a great weekend. You're going to go see Blinded by the Light. I know you're up at the cabin, but you can still go see a movie, right?
Yeah, this is one I want to see. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I'm not just saying that to be polite.
No. All right,
this one strikes a chord.
You're married to a Jersey girl, so you kind of have to. Like, you're required to do that.
I got two Jersey girls in my life.
That's trouble for you, buddy.
How did that happen?
Trouble for you. How did this happen? Minneapolis down to one TSA checkpoint coming Monday? Woo! Let's talk about some other stories in the news next. Welcome back. It's 3:39, Jordana Green in studio. Susan Blanche at the helm. Paul up at Pelican Lake on remote. We're live streaming, but it's kind of boring because it's just me, Paul. So it's not all that exciting, but you can still communicate with us via Facebook.
Sure. I'm at the Pelican Lake Bureau.
Oh, is that it? We have a bureau there now. Very nice.
We've opened up a bureau.
Very nice.
With fishing updates. We'll have lake water temperature updates, and really excited about that.
We like it. Hey, well, it's a good thing. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You go ahead. I'm FaceTiming you, but you put me on pause, so I can't see you. So it's hard to know when to talk. Unpause me.
But I'm reading something off my phone because this just came in. It's breaking news.
All right, hit me.
Jeffrey Epstein's autopsy showed that the financier died by suicide by hanging in his Manhattan jail cell. This, according to New York City's medical examiner. So, I know it's not going to stop the conspiracy theories, but because yesterday the Washington Post had a story out, and they quoted one person who said, it could have been strangulation, too. Maybe not hanging, and so...
And I know how you love a good conspiracy theory.
Well, no, not necessarily, but I tend to believe the medical examiner. If he says that it was death by suicide, then okay. Case
closed.
Death
by suicide, case closed. That's right. That's right. I was going to say, it's a good thing you don't have to fly up to Pelican Lake, because you might cut down on your visits. Starting Monday, passengers without TSA pre-check may only use a single security checkpoint at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport main terminal. This sounds like a complete and utter nightmare to me. Everybody going through just one checkpoint.
And it's been busy, too. It's been crazy busy at the airport. I guess, people soaking up August. But yeah, this is not a great development.
Due to a remodel of the ticket lobby in Terminal 1, the Lindbergh Terminal, security screening at the south checkpoint will be limited to passengers only with TSA PreCheck, with Clear PreCheck, and airport employees. I do pay for Clear, and I do think it's worth it, but it's not in every airport. That's the only problem. But I like the Clear. The rest of the traveling public, including first class, Sky Priority, and Clear Standard passengers. Ooh, I don't know. I might just be Clear Standard. Wow, okay. Must use the terminal's north checkpoint. There are only two security checkpoints in Terminal 1. Oh, yeah. Sounds great. Sounds great.
Why should the airport be any different? There's construction
everywhere. Oh, my God.
Everywhere. I mean, getting to work is now a scavenger hunt. It's a bad video game.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know it has to happen. I know the roads don't heal themselves, fix themselves. But, yeah, it's a bit of a gong show out there. The president apparently walked back talk of gun control. Do you remember there were some hopes last week in the aftermath of the massacres in Dayton and El Paso? The president said that he supported stricter background checks in the aftermath of these shootings. Well, he may have walked that back. Last night in New Hampshire at a campaign rally, he said there is a mental health illness problem that has to be dealt with. It's not the gun that pulls the trigger. It's the person holding the gun, the president said, to roars of applause and a standing ovation from this crowd in Manchester, New Hampshire. Now, the president used a similar line immediately after the shootings earlier this month at a Walmart in Texas and outside a bar in Ohio, saying again, quote, mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see what develops there, if maybe the NRA doesn't want stricter background checks.
You think? Yeah, I'm going to bet on that one. Negotiations between U.S. soccer and the women's national team have broken down. This is such a disappointment because there was so much just energy behind the fact that the women who make more money for USA Soccer would actually and are better at the sport at this point than the men would actually make equal pay. And I guess not. Molly Levinson, a spokeswoman for the U.S. soccer organization, in their lawsuit, said that while the team entered talks full of hope, we must conclude these meetings sorely disappointed in the Federation's determination to perpetuate fundamentally discriminatory workplace conditions and behavior. U.S. Soccer countered that the team's inflexibility was to blame for lack of progress. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, or in this case, she said. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They say we've said numerous times our goal is to find a resolution. And during mediation, we had hoped we'd be able to address that issue in a respectful manner and reach an agreement, but apparently they haven't. In fact, Megan Rapinoe said on the Today Show yesterday that they were ready to have serious conversation about equal pay, and she was hoping the conversations would go better, but now we know not so much. Not so much. Yeah, the talks are following a lawsuit that the players allege systemic pay discrimination based on gender, lower bonuses, inferior travel accommodations compared to their male counterparts. And calls for equal pay, as you know, have grown louder since the team's fourth World Cup victory this summer. Go USA Women's Soccer. You keep fighting the good fight, girls. Do not back down. Stand your ground and get paid. Get paid, girls.
Hey, I wonder if CNN anchors are being targeted. I don't know if you saw this. A couple of days ago, Chris Cuomo caught on video calling somebody Frito, and then there were accusations about Don Lemon. And more recently, contributor April Ryan.
Really?
All of these in altercations, confrontations that were captured on video.
Hmm.
In the case of Don Lemon, some serious allegations of sexual
That's
impropriety,
right. Yeah.
Sexual harassment. CNN has repeatedly suggested that the Cuomo encounter was orchestrated to provoke the anchor host. The network, CNN, sees itself as subject to threats in the wake of relentless criticism and provocations from President Trump. A CNN executive who spoke on condition of anonymity, to speak frankly, called the Lemon suit a shakedown. Somebody's taking Don Lemon to court.
Yes.
And Don Lemon says that this guy tried to get $1.5 million. And when Lemon said no, then he filed the suit. Anyway, CNN calling this a shakedown, pointing a finger at the president for giving people license to attack journalists. Quote, we are living in a time where journalists are being confronted with orchestrated provocations on Sunday afternoons while out with their families, and shakedowns from people looking to make a quick buck, this executive said, all because of where they work and their commitment to holding those in power accountable. License to do so is being given from the highest levels of office in the country. It's dangerous and it's wrong, according to this anonymous source at CNN who thinks this is all part of a pattern.
Interesting. Well, it sounded like a conspiracy theory at first when you brought it up, but it seems like there might be something to it because of all of these allegations. That's frightening.
All happening at once. So we don't know what we don't know, but something to keep an eye on.
Someone got to go check some new 8chan website. If 8chan can't find a home, there's probably some new website making some trouble, wanting people to do bad things in the world. Who knows? Got to go troll
9chan.
The internet. 9chan. God only knows. God forbid. Welcome back. It's 3:54. Jordana and Paul here. Jordana in studio. You can see me on the Facebook. Hi there. Chime in on Facebook if you'd like. Paul up at Pelican Lake. We're doing a tag team remote today.
Yes, we are. Did you see this story about Greenland?
Yes.
Not for sale?
Yep. Yep. Well, the president thinks it is, though.
But what is up in Greenland?
Maybe it's fantastic. Have you been? Don't judge Greenland.
Well, there's a lot of ice. And strategically, I mean, I know we have a base up there, Thule Air Base, a U.S. radar and listening post. But the president has brought up the idea of buying Greenland from Denmark. Two sources have told media, specifically CNN, that the president repeatedly has talked about buying Greenland, which is an autonomous Danish territory.
Hmm.
And the White House counsel's office has looked into it. It's not clear how serious the president is or if the Danish government is interested in selling the territory. The president's aides are divided, some thinking it's sound economic strategy. Others dismiss it as a passing fancy. Greenland is home, again, to that airbase, the Thule Air Base, so it has strategic value. Apparently, the U.S. tried this before, Jor.
Yeah.
In 1867 and 1946, Danish politicians called Trump's inquiry into buying Greenland and its 50,000 residents an out-of-season April Fool's joke. Trump's, quote, gone mad if he thinks we'd sell Greenland, according to senior politicians.
Well, he loves real estate. He does like real estate. So that's a thing.
Could there be a hotel up there? Oh,
there could be lots of spas.
It's the hot spas. It's the hot spas.
There are hot spas up there.
It's the spas.
Susan says.
Golf? I think it's too cold for golf.
Is there oil
no,
up there?
It's spas, not golf. It's
spas?
These spas. There, you sit in these beautiful little lakes. They're little warm lakes, pockets
Isn't
of
that
warm,
Iceland?
Hot water. Oh, is that Iceland?
That's Iceland.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know why I'd go to Greenland.
So we're going to.
I think we had the same geography teacher.
Talking to you guys about this. Yes, I know. I got to tell you this. You know, we have the best contests on WCCO. And if you check out my Twitter or the CCO Twitter or the Paul and Jordana page, you will now see that the Minnesota Twins are on pace to make Major League Baseball history, breaking the team home run record for a single season. Now, to break the record, they need a total of 268 home runs. They're currently at 236, 41 games to play. We are giving you a chance to predict the date of that record-setting home run is hit. You'll win an autographed jersey, a bat, and a ball. Check out our Facebook and our Twitter to win.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.